Greetings from the Candy Colored Studio, where life is sweeter in candy color. I'm oil painter Katrina Berg, and I'm so glad you're here. I'll be chatting with you from my Midway, Utah home, serving up a palette of support, hope, and love with a side of realness. As a mother of five, including four-year-old twins, I know too well that life is rarely easy and jolly. But savoring the sweet moments gives us the strength we need to find peace, growth, and fulfillment along our journey. Again, so happy you're here and welcome. Episode number 10. I am so excited to introduce to you today Kara Ina, my good friend and local artist that I know. She's here with me today. We're going to do a little bit of chatting about her experience. She is not only an artist, but she's an art teacher. She's a mother of four boys. And she's wonderful. You will just love getting to know her. I first met Kara on Instagram, and it wasn't a typical Instagram meet. We started chatting quite a bit. She had a crazy, debilitating surgery. And because of it, she had some time off from her art teaching job, and that's how we got to know each other. And so we were just kind of talking a lot on Instagram and started meeting other Instagram friends. And that's kind of how our friendship started. But it's kind of ironic because she is actually really good friends with one of my college roommates and good friends, Christy Wilson and her husband, Ryan, who I knew from my freshman year. But Kara and her husband, when they first got married, lived next door to Christy and Ryan. And so their oldest kids are about the same age. And so they're really good friends. So it's just kind of funny because Kara and I actually went to Brigham Young University. We were there at the same time, but we didn't know each other until Instagram, which is kind of fun. But Kara is from Canada. I'm going to let her tell a lot more about herself. But like I said, she finished her art degree at Brigham Young. And let me give her the mic and I'll let her tell you a little bit about her. But while you're listening to her background, I want you to take a minute and look on your Instagram. Her Instagram, I'm going to spell it for you. So it's Kara, K-A-R-A, and then underscore Ina, A-I-N-A, underscore art, A-R-T. And then if you want to look at her website, it's the same thing, K-A-R-A, but then it's a dash instead of an underscore, then Ina again, A-I-N-A, another dash, and art, okay? So you can check out those two places. So Kara, thank you so much for being here, and tell us a little bit about you.
Thanks for having me, Katrina. Yeah, sorry you had to spell that all out. I have so many A's in my name. It gets frustrating. But I'm originally from Canada, from New Brunswick, Canada, just a little bit northeast of Maine. And I moved to Utah in 1999 after I got married. And I started my art schooling in Canada for about 3 years. And then I served a mission for our church in Japan. And through a series of events, I ended up in Utah and transferred to BYU after I got married and finished up my art degree there. My art degree is a Bachelor of Fine Arts, and I graduated actually in printmaking and intaglio and lithography. Although I did study painting, drawing, figure drawing, ceramics, you know, stained glass, bookbinding, I studied all of those, but my major was in intaglio and lithography. And so now I'm a practicing artist and I also teach art. Currently I'm teaching grades 7 through 12 for a local charter school in the Valley. And up until this past year, I was teaching kindergarten through 8th grade for the past 8.5 years.
Wonderful. And I know that one of the best parts of teaching for you in the charter school is that you got to see your boys and you got to teach your boys, which is so amazing. So something that you told me recently is that for years you told everyone you were an art teacher, but you didn't tell people you were an artist until about 2 years ago, which is pretty amazing. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So it's not so much that I didn't tell anybody that I was an artist, like I was trying to keep it under wraps. It's that I don't even think I identified with the fact that I was an artist. And I think that that's that's where the crux of it, you know, sits. And you know, you and I have talked about this before, about how you graduate from an education program and you're a teacher. You graduate from an engineering program, you're an engineer. You graduate from computer science and you're a computer programmer or what have you. But by and large, you graduate from a fine arts program. Most people don't call themselves artists, at least not in my generation when I graduated from art school, because we definitely felt like it was ingrained in us that if you're not actually being represented by galleries and you're not gainfully employed by your art, then you don't call yourself an artist. And so I didn't really identify with the word artist until probably a couple years ago, till after that surgery. And one of the main things was just previous to that surgery, my administration at the school that I was teaching at, excuse me, made a lot of changes with their schedule. And as a trickle-down effect, it affected my schedule, my teaching schedule. It impacted it negatively, big time. And I lost about 2.5 hours of prep time per week. And I had 30 classes a week that I was teaching with over 550 students. My husband was just finishing up law school. And I had 4 boys that I was taking care of and running them, you know, everywhere they needed to be. And all of the school schedules that I needed to teach, the classes I needed to teach, the school had changed what classes I was teaching about 9 times between April and August. So everything that I had planned for and devised the curriculum for and researched for throughout the summer was kind of pulled out from underneath me. And it wasn't that it was the school's fault. It's just the needs of the school just progressed that way. But as a result, it left me with no leg to stand on. And I started having to teach several classes that I wasn't prepared for. And I was just kind of one step ahead of the students. And you know, kind of like that fake it till you make it kind of thing. But you're kind of feeling like, oh, I hope the students and the parents like don't really realize that I don't really know what I'm doing. Like, I think I have an idea of where I want to go with this class, but I honestly haven't had the time to prepare. And since I don't have the prep time, it just wasn't there. So I was just, you know, I was just white knuckling it. And so so by October, I could tell that I was kind of burning out a bit. And by February, I have a running partner that we'd go running together before work each morning, or, you know, several times a week. And we'd been friends for probably like 12, 13 years. And she said to me, "Kara, you're not well. Like, you need to talk to somebody. You need some help. Like, you're not in a good place right now." And I really appreciated her having the courage to tell me that, because it needed to be said. Yeah. And I needed her to point that out to me. And so I did some soul searching, and I found a therapist to talk to, somebody that was a third party unbiased. She wasn't even that great of a therapist, but she was wonderful in that it was just somebody to talk to, more than a brick wall, you know, and to just kind of unload all the stress and the things that I was worried about and the stresses that I was kind of juggling. And the therapist said, "It seems like you're not making time for you. Like, when do you have time for you?" And I was like, "Well, I don't have time. I mean, I have this teaching schedule and these 4 boys and this and this and this and all the responsibilities of home and family and blah, blah, blah." And she said, "Yeah, but you're completely running dry." And that was when I realized that I was spending dozens of hours a week teaching other people how to be creative. And I wasn't, you know, spending any of that time myself, putting, you know, focusing on or prioritizing my own creativity. And I think I had kind of like pushed my creative side or my artistic side kind of down, like, oh, it's not the time right now. It's not my season right now. My children are too young, or I need to work at this job or that job to help provide for my family. And I never really gave myself permission to be an artist in order for me to call myself an artist. Right. And so that's kind of where it all started. And so I made a decision that I knew that the surgery was coming up, and it was basically a repair from a hole in my stomach after having my children. So I knew that I was going to be out and not even able to walk for about 6 to 7 weeks. And I knew that was coming up. And so I scheduled the surgery for the beginning of the new year. And I decided that starting in the new year, I would paint more regularly. And I would make it a priority to paint on a regular basis. One of the things that I did to be able to fit it into teaching, even after I went back to teaching, is that I set I set some goals for myself. I set a minimum amount of time that I would spend each day painting, a target amount, and then an outrageous amount for those days that I really could fit it in, which is very rare. So my minimum amount was 20 minutes, that I would get in 20 minutes of painting a day, no matter what. And then my target was an hour and a half, which is tricky to get in when you've taught all day and then you've got activities in the evening and meals to prepare and bedtime routine and all that stuff with your children. And then my outrageous amount was 6 hours, which I probably only got in like, you know, maybe four times throughout the whole year. But setting those small kind of manageable goals for me was really helpful. Often the minimum amount, I would often do it in bed, watching a show with my husband, because that was the only time that we were spending time together after the kids are in bed, and I didn't want to shaft him the time, you know, that he needed. So I would sit beside him, we'd watch a show, and I would paint on my lap for like 20 minutes so that I could get in my goal and get in some painting time and do something for me, but also give him a little time. So,
wow, that's amazing. So many things that I thought about while you were talking. One thing that I thought about was the seasons and how sometimes, I don't know what you think about this, Kara, but in my experience, I feel like it's almost like a scapegoat. I remember having a similar experience and somebody saying, oh, there will be time for you to be an artist, you know, and I feel like sometimes we look at those seasons and we take it so literally that we don't allow ourselves time to just be ourselves. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, just like you said, then we're struggling and we can't be our best selves. And thank goodness you had that wonderful friend that was willing to recognize that you needed help and that nobody else was going to tell you unless it was her, right? And honestly, I mean, thank goodness for friends. Thank goodness for friendship. And yeah, so I don't know. Any other thoughts about like seasons and how, what can we do to help other women like us realize that that the whole seasons thing is really a myth? What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I think that I did it wrong. I just didn't have anybody to tell me or anybody to model it for me or that example of I didn't really know a lot of artists that were also moms that, you know, that I could rely on. And I definitely did take it literally, like it wasn't my season right now. And I told it to myself so often that I started to believe that it may never come. And I started taking that dream kind of even off the shelf and morphing it into other things. I guess that what really comes to mind is that we are the ones that give us that permission. And I've learned to become better at communicating my needs to my husband and my family. And I've learned that it's okay for me to make room for my needs, that it doesn't always have to be just about their needs and putting myself on the back burner. I mean, I'm not selfish about it, but I do really need to tell them like, I need this or I need that. And I have, you know, 4 sons and a husband. I'm super, our dog is even a boy. So I'm like really outnumbered in our family. And I find that I don't know if it's a gender thing or what have you, but I find that they generally don't really notice your needs unless you spell it out for them, you know? And so I've gotten much better at that. And during that school year, I definitely became sort of a zombie where I almost had a sort of an out of body experience in that it's almost like I was standing above myself, watching myself go through all the moves of the day. Here I'm, you know, I'm giving a child a hug. I'm telling somebody I love them. I'm teaching a class. I'm grading papers. I'm mixing up dinner or that kind of a thing, but I wasn't connected to any of those activities. I was kind of floating above, watching it all take place, but my soul wasn't connected to it. And I think that that was just like situational depression or just burnout, just general burnout. And since I've kind of started prioritizing those things and given myself permission to paint on a regular basis, to be creative, to tap into those things that are uniquely me as a person, I can't believe that I shut this off for so long. It helped me to realize that I've always been this creative person, and you can't truly reach your full potential or thrive if you don't take the time to recognize that and to prioritize it. Another thing that I've had to communicate to my husband is I need a space. I need space to paint, and sitting on my bed cross-legged painting is not cutting it. And I'd like to say that I asked permission. I didn't ask permission. I've learned through years of teaching that sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. And that's kind of what I did. One day it was like a Saturday. I think he was out of the house. And I just decided that I was going to turn our spare bedroom into my studio. And I talked my 14-year-old, well, I guess he was 13 at the time. I talked him into really wanting the queen size bed that was in that studio instead of the twin size, you know, bed that really fit his room a whole lot better than the queen size, let's be honest. And I disassembled his bunk bed and it was a very complicated bunk bed that my father-in-law had built. So it's not something that you can just, you know, put back together quickly. And I disassembled it and I stuck it in the hall with no idea how to put it back together again. And we moved the queen size bed in it. And all the while, like talking my son, like, wow, this is so awesome. Like how much space you have. Like, look at this big bed. Like it's so awesome. And you get this really comfy bed. You don't have to sleep in that uncomfortable twin bed anymore. And really I was just trying to claim some space. And I turned that studio, that, you know, that bedroom into my studio. And now when we have family coming to stay with us, they have to sleep in that son's bed because that's where the queen size bed is. And he has to go bunk with his brothers downstairs. And he's very gracious about it, I have to admit. But we did end up having a conversation, my husband and I, where he's like, I just wish that you would have, you know, asked me. And I was like, well, I really need this. And I didn't know the words to express it. And he's like, okay, enough. That's good enough for me. You need it. It's yours. Aww. I just needed to hear those words from you. And I was like, okay, I guess that's part of life's journey, is learning how to verbalize and communicate those things that we really do need.
Totally.
Oh, that's a beautiful experience between you, your son, and your husband. And I think as whatever our passions are, we have to be so willing to go as far as it needs to go to get what we need. And what a perfect example of that. And that you were able to figure out how to communicate what you needed. And I feel the same. I have the same problem, is sometimes it's just really hard to communicate what I need. I know Carl just said to me last week, just don't speak in code. Just tell me what you need. And it's something that I think you'll have to tell me our whole marriage, our whole time together, because I think that there is a difference with the way that we communicate. And it's sometimes, I think it is a gender thing. Sometimes it's just the way we're raised and culturally, but we do have to be okay with saying what we need. And I think that that's so amazing how you talk about giving yourself permission, but then you also at some point you just decided, I'm going to take what I need. And I think that is so good. I'm going to communicate, I'm going to give myself permission, but then eventually I'm just going to take it. Because at some point you have to be so committed that it doesn't matter how you know, selfish that you might feel that it feels. In reality, it's more of a life or death. You know, if you don't want to sit there and have to watch yourself living life and be so detached from your soul, you have to physically do something. And it's hard, and it's a hard choice to do that. But I'm like so proud of you for doing that. And I think we've all had experiences to a certain degree where we understand exactly what you're talking about. So tell us more about this journey. Like, okay, you've given yourself permission, you took what you needed, and yet you still need to heal. And how have you used your artwork to kind of use it as an art refuge to make this transition, to get to where you need to be as a person, as an artist, as a family? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, when I, part of that New Year's resolution to, you know, to commit to painting every day, even for just a little bit, was creating an Instagram account where I would post that artwork. And initially, me posting that artwork wasn't to sell my artwork or that I even had any intention of going anywhere with it or making it into a career or what have you. The entire reason behind creating the Instagram account was purely to keep myself accountable for my New Year's resolution, and also to kind of ride the journey, to kind of see where it took me. And it was mind-blowing, just the progress and the growth that came just by kind of taking that step into the dark or just trying something that was kind of scary. It's terrifying to post your work and putting it out there for other people to critique it or to like it or hate it or, you know, or whatever the case may be. And I wasn't sure how it would be received. And at first, family and friends were like, well, it's about time. Like, what took you so long? And as time went on, you know, people would share my work with other people. And even during that six or 7 weeks that I was off of work, I started selling paintings from my recliner chair because I couldn't even walk. And I was like, okay, how am I going to get it to the post office to mail these off? I can't even drive. And so I started, people would ask me like, how much is this one? And how much is that one? And I started selling them pretty quickly. I think I sold like 20 or 30 paintings in that 6 week period. Oh my gosh. And it just was, I mean, I don't know that, maybe it was a gift from the heavens telling me, you know, a message telling me like, keep going, even when it gets tough, keep going. Like there's something to be had here. There's growth for you to achieve. There's things for you to learn. You need to continue to pursue this. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. I still am teaching art. But at the end of last year, I recognized that at the end of last year's teaching year is what I mean. I recognized that I needed more time to spend on my art and that was really what was filling me up. And not that I don't love teaching art. I do. But it's at the end of the day, it is a job. It's what provides for my family or helps to provide for my family. It wasn't that I was doing it as a hobby. And more, the thing I love most about teaching art is the connections I have with my students and the growth that I can see in them and the light bulbs that go on. And most especially, I love the students that are not excelling in any other subject matter at school. Like maybe they're in remedial reading or they need special education for math or whatever the case may be, but they come to art class and they can be a leader. Mm-hmm. They can shine. They can do things that maybe some of the other students can't. And I love being able to kind of give them those wings to fly. And that I love about art teaching, you know, more than anything else. But at the end of the year, I realized that I needed more time to focus on my son and my husband were having some pretty major health issues, and I wanted to be more available to them. And I also felt like I needed more time to spend on my art for my own health and well balance. And I approached my principal and asked her if I could go part time. And unfortunately, it wasn't allowed at that school that I was teaching at. So I found another school that that offered me a part-time teaching position. So now I teach middle school and high school art, which is, it's been a great transition. It really has. But I miss those students from my other school for sure.
Okay, so I love how your choice not only helped you heal and move forward as an artist and as a person, but it also is helping your family. And I think that that's something that's really hard for us as women, as wives, as mothers, as friends, is sometimes we feel like our choices are going to affect everyone around us. And so we're afraid to make choices. And yet what a gift it was that choice that you made was something that was helping so many people. You know, it just had so many benefits and ramifications. And do you think that in a way that also helped you make that decision because you knew that this decision was going to do a lot more than just give you time to paint?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel like I really came to a realization that art should not be, you know, created just in those stolen moments here and there, like 20 minutes on my bed or, you know, 30 minutes over here or what have you. Like I needed bigger chunks of time to kind of put my soul into things and for that own personal development. I think that in me recognizing that and taking that step, I guess, or giving myself the permission to make that kind of a big step, my family has definitely benefited, not just that I am so much less stressed and I'm not running in a million different directions all at the same time, because I can get them off to school and I'm more calm. I'm not rushing out the door to teaching like I was before. So that's been great. I'm more present. And the studio, though it's the smallest room in the house, is where everybody wants to be. They all want to lay at my feet while I'm painting or pet the dog while I'm, you know, working on some artwork or what have you. Or they just want to be around me. And it's kind of brought a sense of light and color and a spirit of creativity into our home. And I feel like the boys have explored elements of their creativity a lot more too. I have one son that's really gotten into botany and propagating succulents and different plants, and he's gotten really into that and studying up on that. I have another son who's been doing a lot more writing and pursuing more creative writing and poetry writing and things like that. Just creativity in their own right, which has really benefited our family. So anyway.
That's amazing. So again, choices that you made, you were able to not only give yourself permission, but you gave your family permission to pursue their own passions. And that's amazing. So we talk a lot about, or at least I like to talk a lot about giving things up. So obviously your family had to give up things to pursue those passions. What are some of the things that you and your family have given up all along the way, all throughout this journey? What are the things that stand out to you?
Okay, so that's a really good question, because I think that there's probably a lot of moms that are working full time that are even listening to this podcast. And I think that initially, just to be a working mom, you give up a lot just right then and there. So to talk about what I gave up in order to paint in addition to that, is tricky, you know, definitely, excuse me, I had to give up things like, I had to lower my standards on how clean my house was. I had to be okay with dishes staying in the sink overnight. I had to be okay with my meals not being as amazing as they were before or what have you. And then I give up other things, like I didn't read as much. I turned to audiobooks more. Or when I did birthday parties for my kids, they weren't as amazing. They were more bare bones birthday parties, if at all. Sometimes we just do a family party. And I wouldn't stress about those things as much. Maybe my home wasn't as, you know, decorated as nicely. Like this Christmas, I spent much more time in the studio. I was working on commissions. I was getting paintings mailed out. I was painting ornaments for my website and things like that. And I got up virtually no decorations. We got up the tree and we hung the stockings. And I think I might have put a wreath on the door. And that was pretty much it. I didn't even get the advent calendar up, which is sad. But it didn't seem like anybody suffered. Nobody was complaining about it. And nobody was worrying about it. And nobody was like, Mom, why didn't you get this up or that up? And so I think that a lot of the expectations of what I need to do or what I should do or what I must do are imposed on by myself. They're in my own mind. In our family, though, I will say that when I went back to work full time, Remember, my husband was in law school full-time. I was teaching full-time. And since my degree is a Bachelor of Fine Arts, I didn't have a teaching certification. So that meant at nights, I was doing a master's program to get my teaching certification in addition to our four sons. So it was a really super busy time. And I started trying to implement ways that our house could kind of run a little smoother. And that's when I implemented like a zone chores program. So we divided the house into four zones because there's four boys. And each child has a specific zone that they're in charge of for the week. The thought process behind it, or my thought process behind it, was if they have to do all the zones, then they'll realize how difficult it is to keep each of the zones clean. And so they'll be more conscientious and considerate of other people's zones because they know it's going to come back around to them. It hasn't exactly worked out that way, but they do their zones, and we require a minimum of 15 to 20 minutes per day for them to do chores in their zones. And then they are responsible for their own rooms and their own laundry, washing and drying it, folding it, putting it away. And then in addition to that, we have periodic chores like shoveling snow or raking leaves that don't necessarily fall in the zone chore chart, but that we're just part of the family and you're required to pitch in. Yeah. So that's some things that I've had to kind of give up, I guess, is lowering my expectation and being okay with things not being the way that ideally I would like them to be. Sure. Another big thing that I've given up this year in particular is in going part-time, I've given up like $25,000 in income to go part-time as a teacher and to focus on my art. And that's a big sacrifice.
No, that's a huge sacrifice. It is. And yet I listen to everything, all the good things that are happening in your family, and I just can't help but think that there's more goodness that will come. And it's the little choices that we make that add up to these big things eventually. And it is a leap of faith that you chose to take that pay cut to make these things work better for you and for your family. And I don't know. You're doing so many amazing things, Kara, that I just can't help but think that we will look back in a couple years from now, which is not even that far away, and say, oh my gosh, look at how all the wonderful things that have come to you because of these little choices you made, as scary as it was. You know, I'm excited to see all the goodness that comes your way. So tell us, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to doing this year? Do you have any crazy New Year's resolutions that you're in the middle of that we should know about? And project shows, what's coming up for you?
Well, I think that's a good point, that sometimes we are the ones that are keeping ourselves back from that progress. Like we're standing in our own way. And when I met you and I had just had that surgery, I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm walking at a 90-degree angle. Like I don't think I'll ever walk again, purposely like upright, you know. I don't think I'll ever run again. And that was like January and February. And by July, I ran a half marathon. And it's just to show myself that we can overcome kind of big obstacles, you know. And so this year I do have some kind of things in the works. There's several shows that I want to apply for locally that I have, you know, my goals set on, that I'm trying to progress towards and prepare works for. I also want to be more consistent in my newsletter and offering the people that are on my newsletter more inside scoops and freebies and special sales and things like that. I'm excited to do that more consistently. Not so much the offering, but I want to connect with them on a more personal level, I guess, is really what I'm hoping to do that with. And with Instagram algorithms changing and so on and so forth, I've noticed that my newsletter needs to kind of take that role so that I can connect with those customers or people in my life that that have really supported me for the past couple of years and shown me so much love. So that there's that. And then the other thing that I'm working on this year is submitting several designs for lines for fabric to have several fabric lines that I'm hoping to release in the next year or so. I don't know. We'll see. Textiles and fabric and sewing has always been a really big part of my life. And even in my BFA final show, I did it in a series of quilts. And I used to have a sewing company and a quilting company and things of that nature. So it's my mother was a seamstress and a home ec teacher. My grandmother was a seamstress. It's just kind of part of who I am. And it's probably been a dream of mine for about 20 years to have a line of fabric that I've designed. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That is so exciting. And your artwork is perfect for that. I love to see the progression, you know, just where you've come from, what you studied, where your art's going now. And then, you know, I think we've talked a little bit about fabric in the past, but that makes me so excited that you're committed enough to throw it out here. And we obviously, I'm speaking for all of us, we're really excited to see your release and to get to follow you in that way. So, and again, to have that connection with your mother and your grandmother, which is really special. So that's so exciting. Oh, that's awesome. Kara, thank you so much. You are just a wealth of knowledge, but just a wonderful, wonderful person and such an inspiration to so many of us. And I think that the things that you shared today will be the strength that women and friends of ours will need just to carry them through. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being willing to do that, for being just such an amazing person. You're awesome.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so don't forget to go check out Kara's website and her Instagram. I will have that information on the show notes. And yeah, make sure to sign up for her newsletter, because as you know, that's going to be her focus this year. So way to go. And thank you again, Kara. You are just wonderful. All right, friends, have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and know that Kara and I are thinking about you and telling you that you have permission to go and do the things that you want to do and make changes that will be a benefit to you and your family. All right, much love.